Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is
You can feel it happen.
This is the Scott Jacobs Podcast. Here's a video I want y'all to hear about to the two visions of the law. It was Tucker that played this.
Paying attention recently, you probably have. You've likely sensed that something profound is happening to this country right now, something that could transform what America is. You can feel it happening. Our leaders deny it. Officials on both sides reassured us they're not planning wholesale changes to the country. They're just trying to fix specific problems. A man was brutalized by police officers in Minneapolis. Another man was shot to death in the parking lot of Wendy's. Those things were bad, they're telling us, and abuses like that are what they are fighting against. They say we need new laws, more good faith, more attention to injustice. And that sounds right to most Americans. Americans are decent people. They want to do the right thing. Certainly Republicans in Congress appear to believe all of this, or maybe they're just so scared they pretend they believe it. Either way, just yesterday, the GOP leadership enthusiastically backed a law enforcement reform bill. They're proud of that. They seem to think that reining in the police will fix the underlying problems. Pretty soon we can all get back to living in 2014 again. Republicans appear to believe this is a policy debate. But Democrats know better than that. They don't lie to themselves. They understand there is a revolution in progress. The death of George Floyd may have sparked widespread outrage, sincere outrage, and they may share that outrage. But they also know that what is happening now has very little to do with George Floyd or people like him. Like all revolutions, the point is to destroy the current system and replace it with something new. But replace it with what? That's the question the rest of us should be asking right now. We should know what's coming. We know what we have now. Our current system has been in place for hundreds of years. It's based on a very simple idea. All people are created by God with equal moral value, period. Wow. Every one of them. For that reason, and that reason alone, all Americans are treated equally under the laws of the United States. In this country, we judge you for what you do, not how you were born.
Amen.
That idea has been the defining principle of America since the 18th century. It's the main reason we are the fairest society in the world. It's the reason people move here. To the extent America has failed to live up to that principle of equality, we are ashamed of it. We should be. Equality is the most important thing we have. We should defend it. We should practice it. Now, for the first time in our history, we're witnessing a broad and powerful attack on the principle of equality. Daily, we are told that all people are not, in fact, created equal. Some were born with moral stain, others were not. Some Americans are guilty, some are innocent. Nothing can change this, because it was all determined at birth. All we can do is respond accordingly. People in favored groups must be held to one standard. Those in disfavored groups, the morally tainted ones, must be held to another standard. The country retains one set of laws, mostly for the sake of formality, but we must apply those laws in very different ways, according to the DNA and the background of the accused. If that sounds familiar, it's because this kind of system we just described, a system based on heredity and blood guilt, has been very common in history. It was the rule in feudal Europe, for example, and in the totalitarian regimes on that continent more recently. It's still in practice in parts of the world. In North Korea, children are sent to prison camps for the sins of their ancestors. And unfortunately, we have seen it here too. You may have wondered how politicians could have justified practices as perverse as slavery and Jim Crow in a country with a constitution like ours. And the answer is simple: by arguing that not all people are created equal. Some had lesser moral value from birth. That's what they said. Those people carried the stain of sin with them. You were allowed to treat them differently based on who they were. At the time, many understood that this was a lie. Slavery persisted for hundreds of years, but there were always some in authority who considered it evil. Not evil simply because it was abusive, which of course it was, but because the existence of it violated the central principle of this country. And they were right. Where are those people now? Look around. Is anyone empowered defending absolute equality under the law? If there was ever a time to remind America that we all have equal value under God, that time is right now. But no, no one in charge is saying that. Our leaders are cowards when we need them to be brave. They are muddled when we need them to think clearly. It's possible they no longer even believe in equality. 40 years ago, this was a middle-class country. and as a result, America had strongly egalitarian values. Pretty much everyone used commercial airports and ate at McDonald's. Do you remember that? People talked without irony about their rights as citizens and taxpayers. You couldn't pay extra to jump to the head of the line at Disney World. The idea that someone like Jeffrey Epstein could beat a sex charge because he was rich would have shocked us then. We would have demanded an investigation into just how Jeffrey Epstein died. Why? Because Americans hated corruption. They saw corruption as an offense against equality. That was 40 years ago. Things have been moving in the opposite direction ever since. We now accept uncritically the claim that some people deserve better treatment based on how they were born, and some deserve worse. This is the most poisonous and the most destructive of all ideas. Other nations understand that. Rwanda has made it a crime to make ethnic appeals during elections to practice identity politics, because they know very well where that leads. Yet identity politics is accelerating here. It shouldn't surprise you that most of the people pushing this poison are benefiting from it. They're using the recent chaos to codify dangerous trends already in progress, a permanently unequal society where some citizens are elevated and others are crushed. Winners and losers preordained by law. That's the country they're working toward. At the same time, and this is always the tell, they lecture you with maximum self-righteousness about how they're doing precisely the opposite of that. What they're really doing, they claim, is upholding equality under the law.
No one is above the law.
Nobody is above the law.
No one is above the law.
No one is above the law.
No one's above the law.
No one is above the law.
That no person is above the law.
Nobody should be above the law.
Nobody should be above the law.
No one is above the law.
No one is above the law, they scold. Meaning you aren't. You are not above their laws. You must obey those laws to the letter or you will face certain punishment. Others, meanwhile, get a pass or an entirely separate set of laws. Revolutionaries don't acknowledge universal standards. Increasingly, they admit this out loud. They're not pretending anymore. In California, Democrats are moving to repeal Proposition 209. 209 explicitly bans racial discrimination in hiring and education. In other words, Democrats in California are now fighting for discrimination. This is not considered strange in 2020. No one even mentions it. A couple of weeks ago, Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky announced plans to bring universal health insurance to his state. But not for all citizens, just for people with the right skin color. Everyone else would pay, but only certain ethnic groups would benefit. Andy Beshear is still in office tonight. No one has tried to impeach him for suggesting this, because ideas like this are everywhere now. They're totally unchallenged. This is the most divisive possible way to run a country. If you wanted to make certain that your children would hate each other, you would hold them to different standards, and they certainly would. There is a reason that racial tension is rising in this country. It's by design. But race is not the only dividing line. The coronavirus lockdowns have nothing to do with race, with white or black, thank God. They're probably the only thing in America right now that doesn't. Quarantines are instead scientific. They're purely a matter of public health. That's what they told us. And we believe them. We said passively as they destroyed our country's economy, as they indicted Americans for trying to make a living. And then the Black Lives Matter riots started, and we learned that it was all fake. The very same officials who threatened us with arrest for going outside urged their own voters to flood the streets. And they did, and no one was punished. How could this happen? It was such a flagrant double standard, not even hidden, right in your face. They didn't try to explain it. They didn't bother to justify it. Why? Anyone familiar with totalitarian regimes can tell you exactly why and what's going on. This is ritual humiliation. Forcing people to accept mistreatment is a time-tested way to subdue them. Of course we're not treating you fairly, they're telling us. You don't deserve fairness. You deserve what you get. That's the message. And after a while, the population accepts this. Some believe it. They blame themselves. That's the goal. But we should never accept it. The promise of absolute equality under the law is all we have. Laws are designed to protect the weak, not the strong. At the moment, the people leading this revolution against our system are strong. That's why they're trying to subvert our laws. If they succeed, there will be nothing to protect the rest of us in this country. We cannot let them do that.
It'd be martial
law. In the United States of America, all of us are equal under the law. Period. Say that as loud as you can.
people, this world is getting crazy. What are we gonna do? Here's another video.
Now, George Floyd's death, of course, is a wake-up call for the world, as we've seen. But for Black America...
Welcome to Hannity Tonight. So much breaking news we will be covering throughout the entire hour tonight. Now, both officers are charged in the Rayshard Brooks killing. That's the one in Atlanta. They have now also surrendered. And we have key details, new details surrounding the arrest that you didn't hear from the district attorney yesterday. Keep in mind, you can't indict a ham sandwich, but the high bar will be 12 people on a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. There's a lot of developments. But first tonight, I want us all to step back as a country. We need to step back, take a collective deep breath, and understand this moment and realize this country is at a tipping point. It's dangerous. We're at a
tipping
point where we will either go the way of law and order, peace, prosperity, one American family, and the way of safety and the way of security. Or we will go down the road of liberal lawlessness and total anarchy. Now, because the sweeping, broad, in many cases false, generalizations of groups of people, and let's be honest, outright lies at times, well, that we are about seeing officers, police officers, and the smears against those that stand in the way of chaos and you in the safety of your family, this nonstop rush to judgment is intensifying all around the country, especially in big cities by the hour. Now, this madness to defund, dismantle, destroy police departments, it is now a clear and present danger to the entire country. People will, and we'll have more details later, as Dan Henninger pointed out in the Wall Street Journal, they will be fleeing big cities in droves. Police across the country now are under attack. It is unfair, it is sick, and it is twisted. Not all cops are bad. 99%, as a matter of fact, are heroes. Look at the city of Atlanta, where just last night it appears that we are now seeing the beginning. It actually has a name. A lot of police are calling in sick. The name, Blue Flu. Large numbers of officers are calling in sick, basically saying, you know what, enough is enough, following the charges in the Brooks case. The officers, they have lost faith in their leadership. They have lost faith in their ability to actually be able to perform their jobs to the best of their ability. This is even acknowledged by the Atlanta mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, a Democrat. Even she is admitting morale is down tenfold. Here's a question. Do you blame them? Take a look.
Across the country, morale is down with police departments, and I think ours is down tenfold. This has been a very tough few weeks in Atlanta.
And according to a new report from the New York Post tonight, NYPD officers, New York City, they are being encouraged to strike on the 4th of July, although a department spokesman is denying that that strike will occur. Really? Can you guarantee that? Because if that happens, not just in New York City, but in cities across the country, I promise you that will not end well for we the people. It's now becoming untenable for the good police officers to do their jobs and do it safely with the support of the community and those politicians. It's disgraceful, it's unfair, it's unjust, and it's happening. They rush to judgment. Broad, sweeping generalizations. They're all racist, as we have been reporting, by the way. So many major cities that we talk about happen to have a majority of minorities on the job. In other words, a majority of minority police officers. And while I don't necessarily endorse the idea of the blue flu because of what could potentially happen, we have to ask ourselves, put yourself in their shoes, how would you be feeling today? In other words, would you like being called a racist or thought of as a racist? Or as we've seen in New York, have buckets of water poured on your car and be assaulted and not have a mayor that supports you and then have, you know, politicians, we have, oh, the Forgetful Joe and Comrade de Blasio. Oh, this is all racism. Well, how do you think those officers that aren't racist, that put their lives on the line for us every single day and night, how do you think they feel, given the circumstances? Now, given the fact that liberal cities, like we've been talking about, New York, Seattle, Chicago, Detroit, are surrendering...
I wish that we could go back and start over, keep calm, and handle this in a more reasonable way. The politicians are printing staggering amounts of money, spending staggering amounts of money. Every day in Japan, the Bank of Japan goes, the head cranks up the printing presses, prints money as fast as he can. I mean, the U.S. is the largest debtor nation in the history of the world. And look what we're doing. Another few trillion. I mean, I feel sorry for everybody in the U.S. I feel sorry. My kids, young people in the U.S., Robert, I don't know how they're going to cope. In 1920, the U.K. was the richest, most powerful country in the world. There was no number two. And then they started doing the same thing. You know, they went nuts. And now the UK is not even in the top 20 anymore. Still there, but the standard of living compared to what the UK had then and now is dramatic different. So I feel sorry for young people in the US. I feel sorry for you and me, but I certainly feel sorry for young people. A few months ago, politicians or media or somebody started overreacting, and now the whole world is closed down. Sometimes the cure is worse than the disease, and that's what seems to be happening now, if you ask me. Do not think that I'm saying it's wonderful to get the virus. Do not say I think it's wonderful to be sick or to die. I'm certainly not, and I'm in the age group which would be most vulnerable. But if I ignore facts, if we all ignore facts, we're going to be in serious trouble. Asia has less bad situation than the rest of us because they don't have the huge debts. Japan does, but most Asian countries don't have the gigantic debts that the West does. Japan is now in decline. You know, the debt skyrockets every day. The population goes down. The population has been declining for 10 years. They won't have babies. They don't like foreigners, so they won't have immigrants. It's not going to be good, but it's not just Japan. Western countries, you see what's happening in some Western countries now. Even Germany, Robert, even German cities, some of them are in trouble now. Yeah, we worry about Illinois. Germany, you know. When I was a kid, there was nothing sounder than Germany or Switzerland. Now they're both going nuts.
So do you have any words of wisdom or prophecy or encouragement or?
I will say that people should not listen to other people. They should only invest in what they themselves know a lot about. I've been buying gold and silver again for a few months now. I own a lot of U.S. dollars. I just gave you reasons that the U.S. is in trouble and getting worse. So you will probably say, why do you own U.S. dollars? It's unsound, but I own it because in times of turmoil, people look for a safe haven. And the U.S. dollar is considered, for historical reasons, a safe haven. And then you look around and not going to buy the euro or the pound or other things. So I own a lot of U.S. dollars. It's going to get overpriced. It might turn into a bubble, at which point I hope I'm smart enough to sell and put my money somewhere else.
You know, looking at the world from where you see it today and the world economy, do you have any suggestions on how a person prepares for this brave new world we've just entered?
What they need to do is become knowledgeable about what's going on. You must, in 2020, become knowledgeable about what's happening out there, because it's very important, especially now. As Robert says, this has never happened before. Once you become knowledgeable, then you're going to say, oh my God, then you're going to get worried. Then you're going to get extremely worried. And once you get extremely worried, then you will start to prepare and get ready.
Claim your free copy of Robert Kiyosaki's new book, The Lazy Way to Invest.
It's crazy, ain't it, guys? The news just goes on and on.
The
Nobody can turn you into a slave unless you allow them. Nobody can make you afraid of anything unless you allow them. Nobody can tell you to do something wrong unless you allow them. God never created you to be a slave. Man did. God never created division or set up any borders between brothers. Man did. God never told you to hurt or kill one another. Man did. So why is man your God and not the Creator?
Right.
It seems that many people are completely unaware of how they are being controlled energetically and how their thoughts and mental processes are being controlled. How many of the thoughts they are having are very simply not their own. And very often we are manipulating ourselves. It's extremely important that people see the mind control and how they are manipulated energetically. The energetic manipulation that we are subject to is extremely subtle. And most people don't even realize that many of the thoughts they are having are not their own, and they don't realize how they are being manipulated into acting out certain scenarios. As a species, we seem deathly afraid of ever seeing anybody apart from themselves ever excel at anything. People in modern society are deathly afraid of seeing anybody perhaps enjoying their lives a little bit too much or doing better than what we believe they should be doing or doing any better than they are. Well, I suppose we're okay with people doing well as long as we are doing a little bit better. And it's a very clever but very insidious undertone that's been interjected into our way of thinking and most certainly interjected into the independent media. You know, we've got a situation where most of humanity is energy deprived because, you know, you get humanity and you squash it into a box and you fracture it and you prevent it from ever discovering itself or even being who and what it is. You know, people are just never able to truly express themselves or even know themselves. And you end up with a situation where people are completely disconnected from source and their most readily available source of energy is other people. And so the easiest way for them to get energy from other people, of course, is to hack down everybody they see around them who may be excelling.
She was definitely the hottest girl in my Tinder feed, and I wouldn't have had a chance with her 6 weeks ago, but I'd recently read a book that gave me an advantage over every other guy who was hitting her up. It's probably not what you're thinking, though. It wasn't a how-to book, didn't have any clever techniques, and it was really bizarre. Women devoured this book, but most men didn't even know it existed, and all it took was one strange line I learned for this girl to come at me hard.
Hey, my name's Christian, and one more warning. If you're a woman, this presentation's gonna make you uncomfortable, because the discoveries I'm gonna share about what women want, what they secretly crave, are really messed up, and I promise you've never heard this before. And by tapping into this secret knowledge, you will have what it takes to make any woman obsess over you. In fact, I'm going to give you one of my very best tips in just a moment. You'll use it to know if a girl wants to hook up with you the next...
That was
this, of course, prevents humankind from ever moving forward because anybody who has a good idea or really wants to make some change is immediately hacked down and told that he has to be part of the general throng because there are no tall poppies, there are nobody that excels, there is nobody who's better. You know, so all of these things are taken to an extreme, folks. I mean, sure, we're all equal. There's nobody who has more value than anybody else. But people have creative ideas, and these ideas should be put into practice, and people should be allowed to have these ideas. And tall poppy syndrome prevents this from ever happening. It prevents real lights from ever truly being able to shine. But that's what happens, folks. You take everything you can from human consciousness and you squash it into a little box, and in that situation people kind of enjoy hacking down everybody around them because it's a really readily available source of energy for them, and that's just the way it is, and that's the way our society has become. And it's kind of disturbing, but it's just a part of our society. It's a part of our mental makeup now. And of course, I'm speaking generally, folks. It may not be part of your mental makeup, but as a species it is part of our general social makeup. And very noticeably so. And as I said, this happens because unfortunately most people are so disconnected from source now that they are simply not able to get energy, and so their most readily available source of energy is other people. But we're at a very pivotal time at the moment. We're at a very pivotal emotional time, and that's very obvious. obvious by what's been happening in the last few months and the last year. I mean, everybody's been going through it. I've certainly been going through it. I mean, there's been major changes in my life and in my relationships with people. And I know a lot of people that have been going through the same thing. There's been a lot of changes in their lives and in their relationships with people. And people that I know that never get depressed have been going through all sorts of emotional extremes. And we're at a time now where we really need to regain some focus and to find some balance. You know, we've got to be tough and strong and hard as nails and resilient on one hand.
Yeah, we do.
But then we've got to be kind and loving and open on the other hand. Yes, so we need to find the balance between those two. And what we really need to do is connect back with our hearts and really look for the heart in all of our actions. And be prepared to face trials and tribulations, but
nobody
be
has
prepared
a heart
to stand
no
strong and stand true and stand fast in your truth, but always be open and always be kind and always be gentle and honest in your approach. If you can do that, I think you're going to find a way through this period. You know, if you can make sure you're always centered in your heart and your actions, I think you're going to find that you are going to be able to avoid the trap of slipping into that energy harvest where you're just harvesting energy from other people. You are a living expression of universal consciousness, a living expression of universal creation, here to have the experience. You are gifted the vessel that you inhabit to have the experience in by your creator God, whatever you perceive that to be. And you are gifted this vessel to do with what you will and to make of the experience what you can. And there is nobody who has a right of ownership or authority over that vessel apart from you. And there is nobody who you should be allowing to claim they have a right to rule you or have a right to own you or have a right to control you or have any right of authority over you, because they don't. The only ones who have any authority over the vessel that you inhabit is yourself and the creator who gifted you.
It's time to share your knowledge
another
for profit and break through tech barriers with Kajabi.
Are on the vessel for your temporary use. And that's the thing, folks. We've forgotten that we are people. We've forgotten that we are man. We have forgotten that God created man and gave man dominion over the earth. And we are man. And everything below that is a creation of man. We have a creator, whatever that is. Whatever you perceive it to be, even if you're agnostic, there's something, there's somewhere that you come from. And whatever that is, well, that's your creator. So it's just the way you can look at it, folks. But it's helpful in remembering who and what you are, remembering that you are here for the experience, folks. Nobody owns you. Nobody has a right of ownership over you. And the only reason you believe that people do have a right of ownership or any right of authority over you at all is because you've been tricked into thinking that way. And it's imperative that we break out of this programming. You know, just knowing who and what you are, that is the most empowering information that you can have. And when you know how to stand in that, you know, as soon as you realize that you are a living vessel here for the experience and that no one has authority over you and that you are man, God created man and gave you dominion over the earth, just knowing that one simple fact is power. As soon as you remember that, that is power. Just standing in that one simple fact and asking the right questions is power. That is truly all the power that you need. It's just that most people don't know how to exercise that power because they don't really have the confidence in themselves to do so. And they don't generally understand the language that they're speaking. And the way you can put this into some sort of perspective is to truly understand what your body is made of. I mean, your body is 85% water, in fact, more in some cases, but most people are around 85% water, and water has memory. And what are you? You were created. You are a product of the combined waters of your parents, and they are a product of the combined waters of all of their ancestors all the way down the line. And water has memory. That's the thing. The waters that created you, the combined waters of your parents, contain all the memory of all the experiences that your parents went through, all the emotion, all the emotional blockages, everything they experienced, everything they saw, everything they know is encoded in the water in their bodies. And it's the same for every ancestor all the way down the line. And you are a product of the combination of all of those waters, all of which contains all the memory of all of the experiences of those who came before, who created those combined waters that created you. If you look at the work of people such as Masumo Emoto, if you look at a film called water, the great mystery which goes through water clusters and shows how they're formed and confirms that water has memory and that it's stored through clusters. If you look at the work of people such as Victor Schauberger or Schauberger, who did some absolutely incredible work way back in the 1930s and 1940s or even before, Victor Schauberger actually showed and proved that water is a living conscious substance and that it also actually gives birth to itself. He performed experiments where he witnessed pools spontaneously giving birth to water, instances where pools suddenly gained a third of their size and all sorts of stuff. Like truly, really, really amazing work. And I would highly recommend if anybody wants to understand water that they look into the work of Victor Schauberger. But anyway, what we find when we look into all of this work is that water contains memory and that it's stored in water clusters. Water is quite literally the RAM drive of this earth, and it contains all the memory of everything that came before. You are a result of the combined waters of all your ancestral chain, and some of the blockages that you may be experiencing may well be ancestral blockages. Like, for example, if you've got a particular fear of spiders, for example, perhaps someone, one of your ancestors, had a nasty encounter with a spider. If you've got a fear of horses, perhaps the same sort of thing happened. There was a woman who had severe stomach pains all her life, and she found out that one of her ancestors had actually been stabbed in the stomach. And once she came to terms with that, she was able to heal that blockage. So all these things show that water has memory, and so it's very important to understand what your body is. It's like a biological computer, only it's analog, it's not digital. And that's another thing that they've attempted to do, a very clever thing, is they've attempted to superimpose this digital signal over our analog vessel. But you are analog. Everything that is living is analog. We are basically a living analog system, and everything that we are, all of our emotions.
Now, George Floyd's death, of course, is a wake-up call for the world, as we've seen. But for Black Americans, it is the latest chapter in a long history of violence that we've been discussing.
Emotions of our experience, all the experience of our ancestors, everything that makes us who we are is encoded within the waters that are contained within the vessel. And all the memory of everything else is encoded in the waters of the earth. It's very important that people realize the truth of this because it's very helpful in them realizing who and what they are. And it's also very helpful in seeing how easy it is for them to be energetically controlled. What you are essentially is a conscious electrical signal that is powering that water-based vessel. But we are mainly water folks, and it's the electrical signal that flows through the vessel that contains us. Well, that's our operating system anyway. I mean, research would indicate that your consciousness is not local to your body. It exists in the field around your body, surrounding you, and that your DNA is simply tuned to a frequency which downloads that particular consciousness into your vessel, so that's what you experience. And it's all run by electricity, folks, because this is an electrical universe. Everything is electricity. Really, when you break it down to its component parts, folks, it doesn't matter whether the earth is round or flat or hollow or concave or holographic. It doesn't matter, because really, when you break it down to its component parts, everything is electricity. Everything is energy. Remember the words of Nikola Tesla, who once said that if you want to understand reality, you need to think of it in terms of energy and of frequency. Everything is energy, folks. It's an electrical universe, and that is how your body is powered. That's how all the experiences you experience are contained. It's all electrical. Everything you feel or taste or touch or hear, it's all electrical impulses that are picked up by your brain.
So what did you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? Not a bad show right there. That was my podcast for Friday, June 19th. This is the Richard Scott Jacobs podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker Podcasts, Anchor. And thank you, Anchor, for allowing me to be able to do this podcast the way I can on here. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.